The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
And good morning. It's time to get up on the morning after. The D in Big D stands for divorce, which is where it seems to be headed in Dallas. We're all over it. Plus, the poll today, which of these legends has the most to prove this season? The answers are fascinating. And there is trouble in the bubble. Are the players doing the right thing by calling out the ones who are doing it wrong? We've got answers to those and other questions as we get up with you, starting right now. Special early time. Mike Greenberg with you here. Bristol, Connecticut is where we are. So glad that you're with us here this morning for the next 2 hours, and then MLS action comes your way here on ESPN. And yesterday, a huge day in the National Football League as the July 15th deadline came and went. And the headline on Franchise Tag Day was Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, no new deal. So Prescott will have to play out the 2020 season on the $31.4 million exclusive franchise tag. Doesn't sound bad when you read it that way, but in the big picture, it is for everybody. If Dak were to be tagged again in 21, his projected cap hit of over $69 million would be the largest cap hit over a two-season span for any player in the history of the NFL. And should the salary cap flatline, that figure could approach 20% of the team's salary cap next season. There's a lot to dive into here, and I am ready to do it. Ryan Clark is back with us today. Neek is here. But Dan Graziano, I'll start with you, our insider. What can you tell us about what was happening behind the scenes yesterday?
There wasn't a lot going on in terms of conversation yesterday between the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. I'm told there was a conversation. The Cowboys reached out to see if a deal could get done at the last minute, but at this point, each side knew where the other was. Neither was going to move significantly, and the time for dealing had sort of passed. It was as if the two sides were playing a game of chicken, and ultimately neither one of them blinked. We've been doing this for months. We know the numbers were there. The Cowboys were offering something in excess of $34.5 million a year. The first 2 years of the deal they offered would have paid Dak Prescott more than he's going to make on two franchise tags, from what I understand. The question was about years. Dak Prescott wanted to do a four-year deal. The Cowboys wanted to do a five-year deal. There were other issues, obviously, at play, but they never got to a point where they had agreement on a deal, and I think both sides came out of yesterday disappointed, but ready to go ahead, play the year on the franchise tag, and try and do this again next spring.
All right, Ryan Clark, I'm coming to you. To use the analogy that Dan just did, in the most famous game of chicken I can think of, which is in the movie Rebel Without a Cause, one of the cars goes driving off a cliff. And that car yesterday was being driven by the Dallas Cowboys, who screwed this thing up over the course of the last 13 months, or however long this has been going on, so badly, I hardly know how to put it into words. What do you think?
No, I think the exact thing. And listen, this game with chicken is going to get not only one of these cars derailed or running off the cliff, but I think both of them, because Dak Prescott is going to take his car and go somewhere else in a couple of years, and the Dallas Cowboys are going to be looking for a new franchise quarterback. I don't know why even have a conversation yesterday. This has been going on for over a year. I felt like we were having these same conversations about Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys last year. And so now you look at this, he's going to play on this franchise deal. And I think this goes along the lines of a Kirk Cousins. He's going to get to the free market and find a better place for him, a better deal monetarily. And Dak Prescott won't be the franchise quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys for very long, if you ask me.
I agree. And so, Dominique, anyone who watches our show knows, you know, we sort of jokingly, but somewhat seriously call you, you know, the leader of his fan club. I'll just say it this way. Why aren't they taking bows for what they did here? They drafted a guy in the fourth round that no one, go back 4 years, find me anyone who was saying Dak Prescott's going to be a really good NFL quarterback. You won't, because no one was saying it. They developed him into a guy who is this. This should be like an organizational success story. Why, in your opinion,
Why is it the opposite? Why do we find ourselves, why do they find themselves where they are today?
This is ego. Like, it seems like historic mismanagement. And it's ego that's bleeding in that wants to kind of manhandle or force Dak to take a deal that they're comfortable with, but not necessarily a deal that properly values Dak. You said no one wanted him. I was reading Bill Barnwell's piece this morning, and it reminded me that not even the Cowboys wanted him. They were trying to go after Paxton Lynch. So they ended up, got lucky with this special player who has given you top five quarterback level play for 4 years on $4 million contract. And somehow that's the guy you mess it up for? To me, you can't blame anybody but the Cowboys. Since 2016, he has the fifth highest QBR in anybody in the league from that period. If you put him under pressure, sixth highest QBR. If it's fourth quarter, fifth highest QBR. If it's on the third down, it's fourth highest QBR. This man has been special for them, and somehow he's also the cultural leader and kind of emotional leader of that team, the guy that people follow. Somehow they've managed to alienate that player and not pay him. Of all the players that they've worked out contracts for, they've done the worst job on the most important one. I don't know how you can do anything but look at this and see it as institutional failure by the Cowboys.
Graziano, can you explain it?
I disagree. I think there's blame on both sides here, and I think to assign it exclusively to the team and to compare it to the Kirk Cousins situation just doesn't jive with the facts. Kirk Cousins was never offered a contract by Washington that Washington feared he would accept. All their offers were way below market value for Kirk Cousins. Dallas is offered to Dak Prescott. Dominique's going on, he's number four in this, he's number five in this, he's number six in this. The contract would have made him number two or three in terms of income. So you can't really say that the Cowboys aren't properly valuing the player when they made the offer they made. It just didn't end up being the exact offer that he wanted. And I think it's very difficult to say that the team should just give the player exactly what he wants, because at some point there's going to be a line. This is the same team that caved at the deadline or at the start of the season for Ezekiel Elliott last year, and they got criticized for that. I think you can criticize the Cowboys for not getting this done, but I don't think you can lay blame exclusively at the feet of one side or the other here. Again, it was a game of chicken. They both wanted it done. Neither got it done, and I think they both have to assess why and see if they can get it done this time next year.
Go ahead, RC.
You see, Dan's doing what people do on Twitter, right? He took me saying Kirk Cousins' name, and then he went to, because Kirk Cousins got this offer from Washington. Ryan Clark ain't say that. Ryan Clark said that Dak Prescott will be gone like Kirk Cousins is. I ain't say it was the same situation. And nobody is saying that they should have given him whatever deal that he wanted. But you can't point to Ezekiel Elliott's deal, and if you're the Joneses, say, you know what? We messed up on that deal. Let's overcompensate by making sure that Dak Prescott doesn't get his money, because we don't want to be talked about on Get Up. No, it's about doing a deal that works for your team, but also making sure you take care of your team's most important player, because you gave money to everybody else. Everybody else's deal was extremely easy, whether you had off the field problems, whether you were in Cabo chilling, whether you were eating chicken McNuggets when you came into the building. It didn't matter. If he wanted to give you a deal, Jerry Jones gave you a deal. So why all of a sudden, when it comes to this one particular player who has played extremely well, is there no Ben when he seems to be the most flexible, bendable man writing checks in America? And so to me, I do understand what you're saying, Dan. You can't just break the bank and say you get this Patrick Mahomes money, but there was a way to get this deal done, and Dallas also refused to let it be done.
Go ahead, Nate.
And I think Dan, you picked the wrong ones today, because I'm gonna come at you too. Because you just said to me that I said that they undervalued him. I didn't say that. I said it was historic mismanagement. The fact of the matter is, when Dak gets the free agency, he can pick whatever team he wants to. And that's plenty of options. Whatever team offers them, there are going to be a lot of teams that need a quarterback. The Cowboys don't have any options. That's why I said it's historic mismanagement for them. I understand that potentially maybe what Dak wanted was unacceptable, but they didn't have to wait until this point. They could have done this deal a long time ago. If you end up with the result is that you lose a franchise quarterback, that's mismanagement. I don't care what the reason is. And this guy that we have, Dak Prescott, he's shown us no reason to suggest that he's unreasonable. He's done all the things that this franchise had wanted. Back when people were kneeling during national anthems, Dak Prescott, the black quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, came out and was opposed to that. He did all the things that you would expect Jerry Jones to want him to do. And at some point, Jerry Jones should have done the one thing that Dak Prescott wants and also deserves and has earned. Again, $4 million over 4 years of top-of-the-league play. Even if you think that QBR is not a great stat, no one will argue that he has not been a top-10 quarterback or he's not been a franchise quarterback up until this point. They paid him like a backup and now refuse to pay him like a franchise quarterback, which he deserves. And he's done all the things that you want to do. It's a bad message to send. So I do not think that... I said that they undervalued him. I said they mismanaged his situation. Daniel.
Go ahead, Daniel.
But they did try to pay him like a franchise quarterback. If they're offering $34.5, $35 million a year, how is that not franchise quarterback money? I just think it's a situation where the player had a number and a deal in mind that the Cowboys weren't willing to do. The Cowboys would say, we like and we value this player. Our offer reflects that, and it's not our fault that he didn't take it. So I think there's a situation here where there's blame on both sides, and
right. Yes,
the consequences for Dallas could end up being dire, but they're not there yet. And
you're
it's
right.
still
good luck in the 2020
okay
draft, the 2022 draft
next year.
All right, we'll move on from this for the moment. But I'll just quickly say, the place that they screwed this up was doing Zeke a year ago. The place they screwed this up was doing all these other deals and then being completely inconsistent by coming back now and saying, we're not going to go a little further than we want to with the quarterback, when
yes. Everybody
knows the highest paid player in the NFL is always the next quarterback to get a deal. That's just the way it goes. Anyway, in case you're wondering how Dak feels about it, he hasn't said anything, but his brother did. So for those who didn't see it, I think it's worth putting this tweet up. This is Dak's brother, Tad, who had this reaction on Twitter. There is a reason I was never a Cowboys fan growing up or before they drafted Dak. After today, who knows how much longer I'll be cheering for them. So that got ugly. Here's a deal that did get done yesterday, and we didn't expect it. The Titans coming to terms with their star running back, Derrick Henry. 4 years, $50 million is the extension right before the deadline yesterday. It includes $22.5 million guaranteed dollars. His average annual value of $12.5 makes him the league's fifth highest paid running back. It's a little over $2 million more than he would have made on the tag this season. It's worth noting he's the only player on your screen right now to play in the playoffs last year. I would go a step farther than that. I would say if there had been an award for MVP of the playoffs last year, I would have given it Derrick Henry, even though his team didn't win the championship. But what has been the reaction around the league to this contract, Dan?
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Well, I think they're surprised that it got done, but then when you see the numbers, you understand why the team was willing to do it. It's not a groundbreaking contract. The player would have received $22.6 million on 2 consecutive franchise tags had he gone that route, and so he's getting $25.5 million guaranteed. As you mentioned, a little bit more, but not earth-shattering. He's the fifth highest-paid running back. He would have been the fifth highest-paid running back if he had played on the franchise tag. And think about this, Greeny. The same team, the Tennessee Titans, gave a running back, Chris Johnson, more money and more guaranteed money on a 4-year deal 9 years ago than they gave Derrick Henry yesterday. So the running back market continues to be a confounding one. If I'm the agent for Dalvin Cook, for Alvin Kamara, for Joe Mixon out there trying to get an extension. I'm not elated by the Derrick Henry contract, and the reaction from people I talked to around the league last night backs that up. It's a deal that people were surprised that Henry was willing to do.
All right, well done there. So that's an interesting day around the NFL yesterday. We'll have more on it as we continue. Meanwhile, also coming up this morning, we have found the least self-aware athlete in the entire world. And we will tell you who it is and what he said coming up next. And also coming up, which one of these former MVPs has the most to prove in 2020? Brady, Rodgers, or Cam? Those are the questions. We've got the answers. Get up on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. And by One A Day Natural Fruit Bites Multivitamins. In other news this morning, the NBA has set up an anonymous tip line for players to report those who aren't following protocols in the Orlando bubble. That's according to reporting from The Athletic, that multiple tips have been placed there. And one comment that we got on this came from Jazz center Rudy Gobert, whose positive coronavirus test shut down the league back in March. He said, quote, "I don't know if someone's going to use it, but I think it's sort of petty. At the same time, you want to make sure that people respect the rules, but I don't think the line will really help at that point. I think it's more about respecting each other and all do it as a small community." Stephen A. Smith, meanwhile, fired up about the tip line on First Take yesterday.
"You're jeopardizing the season. The season could get canceled if all of a sudden they get ravaged with a bunch of positive COVID-19 tests because you wanted to go out there and get loose, or you wanted to go out there and get a sandwich or something like that. Hell yeah, I'm telling. Absolutely. This is the one time in my life that I completely and wholeheartedly support and endorse snitching. Snitch away. Under no other circumstances, in my estimation, but certainly in this circumstance. Hell yeah. Snitch away."
So there's a lot there to react to. Let's start with Stephen A., because how do you play Stephen A. and then not react to it? Ryan Clark, what is your reaction to what Stephen A. Smith just said?
"Hey, man. Hey, Stephen A. said everybody out here need to be 6'9". Let's all go get rainbow weaves and we telling on everybody. I'm going to say this now. Rudy Gobert need to shut up. Like, there's a lot of NBA players I would have listened to if they wanted to talk about this anonymous tip line or whatever. Let's call it the snitch line. If we was going to talk about the snitch line. Rudy Gobert, you ain't the one, bro. I don't want to hear nothing from you about respect, about small communities, about doing this together, because he didn't respect this in the beginning. But also, too, I think you're going to have a situation where some players really take this seriously and others don't. And those that take it seriously want a season. But more than they want a season, they want to be healthy. They want their families to be healthy when they get out of this bubble. And so, to me, I think the line works. The only thing that I would like to happen is, don't make it anonymous, because if I was in the bubble, if I was the type of guy that had an opportunity to be taller than 5'11", and I had great finishing moves at the rim, I wouldn't call the snitch line and not tell you. I would be like, "Hey, Austin Rivers, I saw you order Postmates and walk downstairs to get it. I'm finna tell these people on you, but we could go tell them together. I don't need to call because I want to be healthy and I want to have a season." So you dang right. If you do something that's going to jeopardize my health, not my money, but my health, I'm letting you know first. And then I'm going to tell them people on you. And I hope they get you up out the bubble, because we don't need you. We can grab players from anywhere. I'll go get somebody that's playing in Indiana. You know they hoop there. So I ain't worried. Rudy Gobert, one, shut up. If somebody ain't doing the right thing, snitch and tell them."
Very quickly, that is what I meant when I said the least self-aware athlete in the world was Rudy Gobert. Of all people to be calling this petty, that struck me as a very strange decision for him to make. Meanwhile, Neek, your reaction.
Yeah, I mean, I just read an article from ESPN that he just regained his sense of smell. Like, is he not, his sense of self-awareness apparently got taken away also, because this is foolishness. I think that he's probably right that what's more important is that guys have respect for each other. But I do agree with Stephen A. and what RC said right there. It's like, I think snitching is the nicest thing I could do. If you are doing something that jeopardizes my health and the financial well-being of me and my family, we are all risking a lot to be out here. And because, as Stephen A. put it, you want to get loose. You're going to put all that in jeopardy. The nicest thing I can do is to call and tell on you, because what will be going through my mind and things that I will want to do might make me at higher risk, might expose me to a little more risk than I want to. So, yes, please call the snitch line, because the other alternative is physical. And don't nobody want that.
Yeah. All right, Graziano, let's take this to the National Football League, because obviously they're sitting there, they're watching how all the other leagues handle all of these kinds of issues and how it will impact them when they get their season started. What are they learning from this?
Well, they're still ironing out, obviously, the protocols, the agreement between the NFL and the NFLPA on all this, but there are provisions in the memo that went out to teams last month that talk about how the NFL and NFLPA can have unannounced inspections of team facilities where they're going to show up and make sure you're following all the rules. Team employees are required to report violations. Players are required to report violations to the league and to the NFLPA. And in a player's call a couple of weeks ago, they were told that they could be subject to fines, punishments, if they're found to have contracted and spread the virus as a result of, you know, going out and eating at a restaurant and riding around in Ubers and doing things that are deemed to be kind of unsafe in terms of trying to limit the spread of this. So, you know, we're having some fun with this. Obviously, people can, you know, can talk about snitching and whatnot. But the fact of the matter is, Stephen A. Smith is right. We don't live in the same world we lived in 5 months ago. And if people aren't willing to understand that thing first before going down the road of playing a sports season, then there probably aren't going to be sports seasons, because this is more serious than I think, you know, we're inclined to believe it is. And I think that's what these leagues are trying to drill into these players. Yes, you do have to snitch on each other, because otherwise the whole thing might fall apart.
Yeah, no, I think we get that. It can be both funny and serious at the same time. And I think, RC, the difference between the NBA and the NFL, to point out the obvious, is these NBA guys are all in a bubble. The NFL guys are all going to be living their lives under otherwise normal circumstances, if you will, going home to wherever they go, eating wherever they eat. They're not living in this bubble. So how are they going to police themselves and each other?
You know, when Rudy Gobert mentioned community and mentioned respect, that's what an NFL locker room is. It is community. And in those communities, there are certain leaders. And I think the leaders of each team are going to have to step up and have meetings, have certain rules and regulations that, for lack of a better word, are patrolled by the streets. And what I mean by that is the leaders in the locker room are going to have to tell the young guys, listen, man, right now there are certain things that we cannot do. There are certain places we cannot go. There are things we can't put ourselves at risk for. And I think that's going to be extremely important that younger players or even older players understand that you're not only in charge of your health, but you're in charge of the health of your team and the well-being of everyone in that building.
Going to be really hard. Jalen Rose will check in on this and other things when he joins us live off the top of the next hour. Meanwhile, we have a lot more coming up as we get up with you this morning. I'm going to make a statement about Deshaun Watson that I know everyone will disagree with, but I'm more convinced than ever that I am right. And you will hear it next. Get up on ESPN. If it was Deshaun Watson who was going to be the quarterback in Kansas City for the next 12 years instead of Mahomes, I believe they would do just as much winning. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I believe Deshaun Watson is as good as Patrick Mahomes. It is about just how high I am on Deshaun Watson and have been for a while.
I think high is the operative word right there. You're not crazy, but you're wrong.
Did we really do that with the smoke? All right, that's very well done. That was a little bit of a conversation that Neek and I had yesterday here on Get Up, and we are delighted to bring it back and to bring Tim Hasselbeck back into our conversation. Let me make clear again, for those of you who are not with us yesterday, the point I was making. That is not that I believe Deshaun Watson is as good as Patrick Mahomes. I've never seen anybody as good as Patrick Mahomes. But I believe that if Deshaun Watson were to be the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs for the next 12 years, as Mahomes is now locked in to be, that they would do no less winning with Watson as their quarterback than with Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback. We've not yet heard from Tim Hasselbeck this morning. So Tim, I'll give you the first word. Do you believe, as Neek suggested yesterday, that I might be high and that if not crazy, I'm at least wrong.
I don't know about your personal habits, Greeny, but I would say no, I don't agree with what Nick is saying. You know, maybe that'll be somewhat surprising. Look, and I agree with your assessment that Deshaun Watson isn't as good as Patrick Mahomes. But with that being said, I think when what you're talking about in terms of being in Kansas City is the coach and how they've built that football team. And then you put this in perspective. Andy Reid, you know, since he's been a head coach in the NFL, has won an NFL game with 13 different quarterbacks. That is an absurd number. There has not been a better coach of the quarterback or developer of the quarterback in the National Football League over the last two decades than Andy Reid. There hasn't been. And so, you know, he's won playoff games with guys like McNabb, Jeff Garcia, Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes, like Michael Vick's career was resurrected, you know, under him. He basically gets to the playoffs starting guys like Coy Detmer and A.J. Feely. To me, he won a game last year with Matt Moore. Matt Moore was basically done playing football and wins a game last year with Matt Moore. So when I look at what Andy has done with the quarterbacks, he would have a ton of success with Deshaun Watson.
Go ahead, Nick.
He's won a Super Bowl with one. Been a coach for a long time. Did a lot of good quarterback coaching. He's won a Super Bowl with one. So you can say Matt Moore, Ty Detmer. We can go back to Coy Detmer. We can go to all the Detmers that you want to name. It don't matter. There's one Patty Mahomes. So why don't y'all stop playing? Like, I love Deshaun Watson. One of the things I hate about this job is when you have to decide between players, sometimes it sounds like you are down on a player. Deshaun Watson is great, but I don't understand how you guys can make senses that say, this is the best player I've ever seen at the most important position. However, this player who I acknowledge is worse than him would be just as successful because the coach who had a reputation of mismanaging the clock until Patrick Mahomes showed up is the difference maker. If he is better, it stands to reason that he would be more successful. I do not understand the logic.
Let me throw an illogical argument at you. And Ryan, I'm going to let you be the judge and tell me if I win anything with this, because I don't like saying it this way, but there's just something about Deshaun Watson that he wins. And I'm going to go back to college. We all right now, if you say the word Clemson out loud, we would all say Clemson is right there with Alabama as the preeminent college football program in America. And we give all the credit in the world to Dabo Sweeney for that. And he deserves it. He's a great coach and he has built an unbelievable program. But Clemson wasn't Clemson until Deshaun got there. And I watched with my own eyes Deshaun Watson beat Alabama twice. They only won the game once, but that wasn't his fault the first time. So Deshaun Watson going back to college, he just wins. He got drafted by Houston. I could give you numbers on just how bad that team has been outside of him. The year that he got drafted, he set an NFL record in passing touchdowns through seven career games. His team went 3-3. Then he got hurt. They went 1-8 the rest of the year. So, RC, there's just something about Deshaun Watson that I grant you, I can't always back up with numbers, that he just wins. And I don't think he'd win any less than anybody else anywhere.
Well, you know, I absolutely agree with that. I think this goes to Dominique's point about having to choose between two players you really like. But let's think about Andy Reid and this great quarterback coaching. You have a starting quarterback that halfway through his MVP season, he says, yeah, I couldn't read defenses. So you know what that means? Even though he was being coached by this guy that we think is the greatest quarterback coach or one of the greatest quarterback coaches of all time, a year and a half into his career, he didn't know who the mic was defensively. That's how good Patrick Mahomes is. And when you think about Deshaun Watson, he is great. I had a 30-minute conversation with his agent on Saturday, and I talked about how amazing Deshaun Watson is, not only as a player, but as a leader. But still, when you look at Patrick Mahomes, there's a reason why he has accolades that are more than Drew Brees right now. He has an MVP, he has a Super Bowl MVP, and he has a Super Bowl. Drew Brees doesn't have those accolades, and he's played for two decades, and he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Patrick Mahomes is just different. Patrick Mahomes is so good that your very own Deshaun Watson can be up on him 3 touchdowns and lose the game, because Patrick Mahomes can take over a game by himself. And do I believe that Deshaun Watson would be successful in Kansas City? Absolutely. He'd probably win an MVP at some point. He'd win a Super Bowl. But the reason that Patrick Mahomes has a house in the neighborhood that nobody else can afford is because he's just better than everybody else. else. And not better than everybody else we see playing right now, Greeny. He's better than everybody else we've ever seen play. And this conversation, I think you did say one thing right. This conversation that we have about LeBron James and Michael Jordan will eventually go to Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. And the reason being is we're going to see Tom Brady's greatness and his career, but we're going to look at Patrick Mahomes and say, but dang, he's done things that we've never seen anyone do. So when you've seen somebody do things that we've never seen anyone do, it is very hard for me to look at somebody else and say, yeah, but he could do it too.
I understand that. But Tim, as I give you the final word here, I will just say this.
No.
The New York Jets drafted number 6 that year. They passed on both of those guys. If the New York Jets had drafted Patrick Mahomes, would we be saying right now he's someday going to be better than Tom Brady? He got drafted into a fabulous – I'm not saying he isn't the best player I've ever seen, but he also got drafted into a great situation, and those things are incredibly important together. Tim Hasselbeck, go ahead. I need to give you the final word here. We're going to run.
Yeah, sure. Listen, short answer on that. No, he would not. Like, everyone is acting like Patrick Mahomes came out of Texas Tech as this polished player. Go watch his Texas Tech film. It's all over the place. He was as raw of a player that got drafted, you know, in that situation as you could find. And remember, he didn't play his first year. You know what he did? He basically was in quarterback school in Kansas City. He didn't just come, you know, into the league prepared to play this way. So, no, if it was at the Jets, absolutely no, it would not be. In just the same way, if Deshaun Watson, who was a much more polished player, had come in and been with Andy, you know, that first year and been developed under Andy, he would even be a better player. So that's why I don't think it's a crazy argument.
So, Nick, if there's one thing I think we've decided here definitively, it's that I'm right. Okay, let's run through a bunch of other news in the world of sports today. Let's get up and go. We start in Dallas, of course, as we've discussed. Cowboys, Dak Prescott, unable to reach a long-term extension before the deadline, so he'll play next year on the $31.4 million franchise tag. To the NBA, Pacers guard Victor Oladipo initially ruled out of playing in the NBA restart, now saying, quote, there's a strong possibility he could change his mind and play. He's been rehabbing a quad injury, so we'll keep a close eye on that. Other basketball news, another high school star is bypassing college. His name is Jonathan Kuminga. He's ranked 5th in the 2020 class ranking by ESPN. He's going to the G League, choosing that option over Duke and Kentucky, amongst others. And a programming note, we are on at our special time today. That's because following us, the MLS tournament continues. Atlanta United facing FC Cincinnati. That is today here on ESPN 9 Eastern. You can also watch on ESPN Deportes and on the ESPN app. Coming up, we have revealed Patrick Mahomes, Christian McCaffrey, and Aaron Donald as 3 members of the Madden 99 Club. We will unveil the 4th coming up next. And after 20 seasons and 6 Lombardi trophies, does Tom Brady have more to prove than anyone else in the sport? It's a better question than you might think. We'll talk about it next. Get up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and we're talking about players who have something to prove this season, quarterbacks in particular. RC, which quarterback do you think has the most to prove?
To me, it's Baker Mayfield. You look at Baker Mayfield coming out of his rookie year, breaking the touchdown record. We thought this would be a guy, after being the first overall pick, that would ascend into the ranks of the elites. And he took a step backwards with Freddie Kitchens as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. He now has Kevin Stefanski. He obviously has a plethora of weapons around him. This is the year we need to see Baker Mayfield become who they thought he was when he was drafted. If not, they'll be looking for a new quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Mm.
Tim Hasselbeck, who do you think has the most to prove?
Well, a lot of people might have Dak fatigue at this point, but I'm going to say it's Dak Prescott. Look, basically the Dallas Cowboys, you know, don't do a long-term deal with him. And so now a guy that's made less than $5 million playing football over the last 4 years and playing it at a high level, you know, is forced to play on a contract year again. And granted, he'll make a lot more money than he's made in the past, but he's playing for a long-term deal, whether it's with the Dallas Cowboys or somebody else. That's a lot of pressure, especially when you look around at your peers who have been compensated at a totally different level than you've been compensated for at that point.
How about you, Dominique?
Yeah, it's right there, Tom Brady. I know that his career is made and he's going to go to Hall of Fame and he may be the best of all times, but I think the pressure that's on him is that he's putting on himself. I think he has a lot to prove, and he believes he has a lot to prove. Getting from beneath this Belichick shadow that I think follows him a little bit, though we think he's great. There are some people who would argue, and I think maybe Tim is one of those people who would argue that maybe the coach deserves a lot more credit than a quarterback does. I think this is an opportunity for him to show that last season, the dip from last season was a bit of a fluke, and he's still as great as we all thought he was.
That's a fascinating one, and I think it's worth stopping down on for a moment, because I would assume you would agree with this statement. Regardless of what happens the rest of Tom Brady's career, he is going to be considered the greatest quarterback of all time. So one might say, well, then there's no pressure on him at all. There's really nothing to prove. But under the circumstances you just described, Tim Hasselbeck, I'll come to you. Do you agree that I would guess in his own mind, if nothing else, Brady has a lot to prove this year?
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Oh, there's definitely pressure, and he definitely has a lot to prove. And it's exactly what Dominique is saying in terms of, you know, was it Belichick or was it Brady? I mean, if he plays poorly in New England, you know, wins 10 or 11 games with Cam Newton or Jarrett Stidham, yeah, that doesn't look good for Tom Brady in terms of, you know, how people would view his hand in the success, you know, in New England for all those years. But so I'm not disputing that there's a massive amount of pressure and probably self-induced pressure on Brady. I just think the difference is Tom Brady's probably made about $200 million. He's going to be viewed how we view him for the most part. Dak Prescott is not. That's why I chose him. But yeah, the point about Brady is absolutely correct.
Yeah, RC, let's focus in on that a little bit farther, because, you know, one of the things we do with our great athletes is we like to write the end of their careers for them. You know what I mean? Like there was a part of me that always wishes Michael Jordan had walked away from the game with his hand in the air in Utah instead of coming back and playing in Washington for those 2 years. I don't know how he feels about it all these years later, but we sort of want to see them go out like that. And there's a part of me, even though everyone knows I root against the Patriots based on my own fandom, like you don't want to see Brady diminished. You don't want to see him less than his best. And I would guess he, more than anybody, doesn't want the world to see that.
Well, I think playing at this age, you're going to be less than your best. And you're going to be less than your best no matter where you play. But what Tom Brady thought to himself is, if I can't be what I used to be, let me be stronger elsewhere. If I'm Iron Man, if I'm Tony Stark, and I'm only a human, but I'm super rich, I'm going to build this suit, right? I'm going to get all of these things, all this help, so I can be a part of the Avengers. And that's what Tom Brady did. He said, you know what? N'Keal Harry, Julian Edelman, Josh McDaniels, yeah, those guys are cool. But listen, let me go get Mike Evans. Let me get Chris Godwin. Let me bring Gronk along, O.J. Howard. Let me get in this pass-happy offense that I can now use these weapons to build me up where I'm no longer as strong as I used to be. Tom Brady won't be the Tom Brady we used to know, but he could still be in this place with the talent around him and win. And I say this right now today. If Tom Brady doesn't have a great year and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers aren't exceptional or don't make a deep playoff run, there will be people that come out and say, but he's 43 years old. We knew that this wasn't the Tom Brady he used to be. If Tom Brady makes this jump at age 33, when he's got some Super Bowls already and we're trying to figure out if it's Bill Belichick or Tom Brady, I think that's where the pressure is. But 43-year-old Tom Brady, who's not supposed to be playing anyway right now, I don't think so many people think about this as a defining moment in his career. So this is all Lanyap. as we say in New Orleans, as we say in Louisiana. If he wins, it's only going to add to his legacy. If he loses, myself and many other people are going to come on here and make excuses for him and say why he's the greatest player of all time still, the same way I say Michael Jordan still averaged 22 for the Wizards and had stats that only 11 other people had in the league, and he was 40, and before he came back, he was fat.
So maybe Jordan isn't the best example to use, but I grew up with, you know, a sports-loving father who told me that it pained him to watch Willie Mays at the end of his career. And you'll hear that from a lot of people of that generation. Go ahead, Nick. I'll give you the final word.
No, I guess I'm looking at the upside, because can you imagine the story if he has a MVP caliber season, or if he plays well and they go to and win the Super Bowl? That's the pressure I'm talking about, because you're right. We'll forget about this chapter of his career if he stinks, but if he goes off and has a great season or a couple of seasons, that'll be part of his Hall of Fame montage. And I think about him as Big Boy from Outkast. Like, they were historic, and that group was fantastic. But then Big Boy went separate, and people were like, hey, maybe he can't do it without three stacks. He had hits after that, hits on top of hits. His left foot, tight album. Like, he has a chance. Tom Brady's a chance to go down south and give me a Lucius left foot, and I need it. Come on, Tom.
I miss our Wednesdays together, guys. They can't come back soon enough for me. Meanwhile, this sort of leads me to the poll question I put up yesterday, and nobody mentioned the guy that I think deserves to be in this conversation, and that's Aaron Rodgers. Oh, by the way, they've already drafted his replacement, and if things don't go well this year, could he get benched? You can cast your vote on my Twitter page at ESPN Greeny. Which of these quarterbacks has the most to prove? And we'll talk about it further and show your results a little bit later in the program. Meanwhile, Dan Graziano, let's run the hurry up through a few more situations. Myles Garrett, huge extension in Cleveland. What can you tell us?
Yeah, he had 2 years left on his rookie contract at almost $20 million total. The Browns wanted to get him locked up long-term. They have other contract situations coming up in the next couple of years, most notably Baker Mayfield. So they do a deal with Myles Garrett, who's still only 24 years old. They want him to be a big part of their future, and they're paying him like one.
Next situation, A.J. Green didn't get a deal done yesterday. What's the latest?
Well, he's going to play this year on the franchise tag. It's worth about $18 million, a lot for a 32-year-old wide receiver coming off a year where he didn't play. So this is actually kind of the perfect use of the franchise tag. The Bengals get to take a look, see if he's still the player he used to be, and maybe he's part of their future plans after this season, and maybe they move on.
And how about Yannick Ngakoue?
Yannick Ngakoue has made it clear he wants a trade out of Jacksonville. He was not able to secure one. The Jaguars got offers, didn't like any of the offers, so their leverage in trade talks probably goes down now that the tag deadline came and went. But look at Jadeveon Clowney last year, got traded in late August in a very similar situation. So Ngakoue still could get his wish.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that. Graziano, stay close, because Hembo wants a piece of you this morning. We'll get to that in a second. First, I'll remind you, today on ESPN, live coverage of Serie A continues. Torino hosting Genoa. That's today, 1:25 Eastern, after SportsCenter on ESPN and the ESPN app. As we continue, are the Cowboys and Dak Prescott now inevitably headed towards divorce? Dak's brother raises the stakes. We'll talk about that as we continue. And then, as promised, here we go, Graziano. Sneaky Hembo is coming for you today. Prior to Stephon Gilmore, who was the last player to win Defensive Player of the Year on the number one scoring defense in the NFL? That's the question. The answer's next. Get up on ESPN.